chosen actions. Ayah 157 of Surah Ali Imran reads, "If you are slain in the way of Allah or die, surely forgiveness and mercy from Allah are better than what they amass." Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei says, "Whatever is related to the luminous being of a martyr is a marvel. His motive for moving toward jihad, that is, that in the material world and among these many colorful and attractive motives, a youth stands up, stages an uprising for God, and marches toward the field of a struggle. This is a marvel. After that, his effort, exposing himself to danger in battlefields, his feats in the fields, his bravery and valor, every line of which can be a lasting and luminous model, is a marvel too. And then, reaching the ample enthusiasm and removal of material curtains and covers and visiting the image of the beloved, this is one of the marvels. I read a testimony where a martyr says, 'I am restless, restless. There is a fire in me that has made me restless. I won't be calm with anything except meeting you, oh my beloved dear God.' This is the word of a youth. This is the very thing that a traveler of God's way and a Gnostic made possible reach after years of striving and asceticism. But this youth has been blessed by God in the battlefield and the field of jihad to the extent that he covers the 100-year course in one night. This very enthusiasm is also God's grace and the Almighty's attraction. This is a great marvel." Profiteering and seeking of supremacy in some humans have caused oppression and aggression throughout history. Saddam started an all-out war against the Islamic Republic of Iran with a hollow wish of capturing Khuzestan province in 3 days. He wanted to destroy the Islamic Revolution, but he faced the stiff resistance of people from all walks of life and all ages. The Iranian nation had learned steadfastness from Imam Hussein and his companions. Therefore, the Iraqi invading army used chemical weapons against the Iranian combatants and civilians over 3,500 times. These bombardments resulted in thousands of casualties. Yet, the claimants of human rights and human values in the West never uttered a single word in condemnation of Saddam and his savage army. The holy defense is alive in Iran, and as Imam Khomeini said, in the end of the 8-year imposed war, the Islamic Revolution was exported by the war. It means that the freedom-seeking and justice-seeking nations and movements, especially in the Islamic world, have learned the culture of self-sacrifice and martyrdom from the Iranian nation. Moreover, the defendants of shrine from various nations have united with the Iranian combatants. One of the sweet fruits of this unity was seen in the extermination of the cancerous tumor known as Daesh, which consisted of the most savage beasts in the shape of human beings. Thank you.
This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran, for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, you are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing, wherein we discuss problems, issues and other questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. As usual, all of the answers provided in this program are based upon the Holy Quran and upon the narrations of the Prophet and of the household of the Prophet, peace be upon them all. Joining us in the studio is our guest speaker, Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qom. Dear Sayyid, welcome. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Dear listeners, today's topic is a continuation of the previous program topic about the 26 rules to follow when we want to discipline our children. We have already discussed four rules, and today we'll pick up starting with the fifth rule. Dear Sayyid, please enlighten us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. So we said if a parent finds himself at a stage or a state where he needs to punish or discipline a child, then there are principles that he needs to have or formulas he needs to go through in order for him to punish a child. So we mentioned four, we got up to number five. Parents have to keep in mind that when it comes to disciplining a child, that they should not discipline them except when they are relaxed and comfortable. So, for example, if a parent is angry and he wants to discipline a child, you'll see most of the times they will choose the wrong means of punishment, or they give the wrong instructions of punishment that they will regret later on when they are calm
more
and collected.
Calm,
yeah. So, for example, you say to the child does something wrong, it's like, okay, you are not touching your PlayStation for, like, let's say, like for a whole day, right?
Right.
And then the parent, after that, he's like, you know what, when he's calm and collected and everything, life goes to normal, and that poor child is just not doing anything, right? He's just sitting there.
Right. Do you realize it's an overreaction?
Oh, he just like starts to annoy his parents, like, why don't you just go play?
Right.
Which goes against what his punishment to begin with.
Right.
So the parent made the wrong choice or the wrong punishment in the moment of anger. So the parents need to be calm, they need to be collected, they need to relax, let it go, and then, you know, think of something suitable to do to the child, then do it.
Some might say that the child has done something bad, for example, in public, or a horrible, misbehavior, and the parents, for example, of course, they're going to have a reaction, a negative reaction to it. So should you just like wait to calm down for a few minutes and then call the child?
Well, that's a problem. That's precisely the issue, that when the child does something wrong and you find yourself being angry, then obviously the result of your punishment is going to be wrong too.
So perhaps we could, like, if the child did something wrong and we are angry, we could maybe say to the child, sit down for a minute while we ourselves calm down.
Yeah.
And so then we can
speak
about discipline.
Exactly. Not just that, but I mean, even when you are angry, okay, so sometimes, I mean, we're not saying that we shouldn't get angry, because that's human beings will get angry.
Right.
So my child does something wrong, I don't get angry, but I tell myself, okay, let me educate my child, let me talk to him, let me put some sense into him in a nicer manner. Right. So I shouldn't make haste judgment, like you know, I've heard this from parents, like they do something outside publicly, like you said, like, when you get home, I will show you.
Right. Yes.
One, you threaten them.
It's a threat.
When you get home, I will not let you play PlayStation. So you're giving punishment on the spot. Or actually says, you know what, darling, this is wrong. We shouldn't be doing this. We'll talk about this later, right?
Right.
And you just leave it. Calm, and then that's how you calm yourself.
Calm
so you
down
tell him that there's something wrong, but you will leave it for later to deal with it.
And on that note, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
When I was born, the first words that I had heard were the words of Allah being whispered through my ear. And as I felt Allah's presence in my soul, that day Islam took me in its fold.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are speaking about the 26 rules to follow when disciplining our children. Dear Sayyid, please continue the discussion.
So that was our rule number 5, that you need to be calm, collected, don't threaten, don't make punishment that you will regret.
Right.
Okay. Now, we move on to number 6. There has to be what we call levels in trying to discipline a child. So there are stages of discipline. So for example, instead of resorting to hitting, which is, let's say, it is the last result,
right,
begin with just showing expression on your face that you're not happy. Now just give them that angry face, for example.
Right.
It says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa'ala, the companions, they would know that he is angry with something just by looking at his face. When his face changes red, for example, they know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very angry.
That was enough for them.
That's enough for them. He doesn't need to talk. He doesn't need to do anything. And then there's like, oh, we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from your anger.
Right.
Just by his face. So as parents, to begin with the process, we can just have an expression on our face to indicate to the child that what they're doing is wrong.
Right. And that might also be enough sometimes for the child.
Most of the time you find that's enough.
Right.
And the child's like, you know what, I'm not going to do it again because that's going to make them angry. Right. So they will leave it. So you don't just jump from 0 to 100 in a matter of a slap.
Of course not.
Right. So you don't do that. So you begin with, I don't know, with a few things, and the child will repeat it. You repeat that look as well, and so on and so forth, until you move on to talking, and then after talking, discussing, and so on and so forth.
Right.
So it has to begin. You need to have steps when it comes to punishing.
That
you
gradually escalates.
It has to be a gradual step by step, in order to discipline your child.
Right.
Not straight away. Even, for example, if you want to give them a timeout, you don't say, for example, for straight away, you say, I'm taking a PlayStation from you for an hour or 2 hours. No, begin with 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Something short. Something tangible, something that child could feel. And sometimes he will not only he can feel, he can actually move with it.
And they can predict what the result would be if they were to disobey.
Yeah, so if you take it from 10 minutes, he would feel the heavy weight of the 10 minutes. And he's like, you know what, I shouldn't do this. Because God knows how it would feel if it was an hour.
Right.
If you say to him an hour from straight away, he will just be upset, he'll be furious, he'll be angry, and he'll be like, you know, he'll revolt back.
Right.
Because it's too much for him to handle. So I give him a small dosage of, you know, of punishment, if we can say that, or discipline, so he can begin slow and slow.
Right.
All right. So this is when it comes to number 6. When it comes to number 7, the punishment has to fit the mistake. Right. It has to be in equal proportion. So for example, first and foremost, you have to ask yourself, does the punishment itself need, or does the mistake of the child needs a punishment or not.
Right.
Is it going to affect them or not? Is it repetitive or not?
Right.
So you need to ask yourself so many questions to get to the point. It's like, okay, you know what? I'm going to punish them now. So, and when you come to a conclusion that the parent or the child needs to be punished, for example, needs to be disciplined, that discipline has to be equivalent to what they did. For example, a child spills a kind of drink.
Right.
And the mother screams her head off at him.
Right.
That's not equivalent to the mistake. It's a simple mistake. Oh, please be more careful next time. That's all required.
Right.
To yell and scream at him, that's way out of proportion.
So the punishment must be equal to the mistake.
It has to fit. Exactly.
Right, right. And on that note, we will take a quick break.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
إمام السجاد عليه السلام said a child's right is to be kind to him when educating him, forgiving him, covering his mistakes, acting moderately towards him and helping him.
Welcome back to your listeners. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we're discussing the 26 rules to follow when disciplining our children. Dear Sayyid, please continue the discussion.
So when we looked at number 7, we said it has to fit the criteria, which requires a lot of work, actually, especially from the parent. It requires them to think so hard before taking action, which in fact that process of thinking itself, it should help the parents sometimes even cancel the whole thing. Like, it's not like we said before.
Forces them to think rationally and logically.
Yeah, it's not required. Like,
right.
Especially with mothers, sometimes when things go wrong in the house or the kids make a mess, the first response is yell at them, scream at them, or call them names. Or, you
right.
know, try to insult them as much as they can. And a lot of, mashallah, a lot of parents are very creative in this regard.
Right, right.
So we're saying, well, that's not really appropriate. That's not equivalent to the mistake itself. So you need to think before that.
It also forces the parents to be consistent, because they now need to think, okay, so my child has thrown his food on the floor. What did I do last time, for example?
Mm.
And kind of have an equal measure of punishment to give them.
Exactly, exactly. So there has to be consistency in the quantity and quality of the punishment.
Equality, that's a good word to say.
Yeah. So it has to be very consistent. And number 8, when we try to discipline the child or punishment, it has to be done for the sake of, as we say, ta'dib, not ta'dib, right?
Right.
To educate, not to punish. So sometimes we do it and becomes, I think this was the first one, but here we said it should not be too harsh. It should not take a very harsh form, or it causes the child an extreme amount of embarrassment. Okay, because sometimes it could be a small action. For example, you could be outside and your child does something wrong and you scream at him, or you pull his ear off, or you push him in front of people.
Right.
So we said it has to be done for education, not for punishment, but it has to be not too hard, too harsh, that could actually break him from the inside, especially for a child. If he gets extremely violated in front of other people, it leaves a stigma in his soul and in his personality.
Right, it will remain with him forever. It's a trauma.
Yeah, it becomes like an extreme trauma in the outside. When he deals with people, he will feel fear.
For example,
he will feel shame. He doesn't want to go out and see. He becomes like, as we say, an introvert, not an extrovert anymore.
Right.
Because he starts to have this hate of people, because he got embarrassed in front of people. People got to see him being punished. People got to see him being extremely
There's a shame in that will follow him through the rest of his life.
It will. So we say to the parents that if you want to punish, if you want to discipline the child, it has to be done for the sake of education, but it should not go to extremes that it puts a child in such a mental state that he feels, I don't know, he feels that he's not worthy anymore.
And on that note, dear Sayyid, we'll unfortunately end today's program. I thank you, dear Sayyid, for your time, and I thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. As usual, if our listeners have any questions or some feedback, they can contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir, or they can find us on the various social media accounts we have under the call sign of Call of Islam Radio on, for example, Facebook or Instagram. Dear listeners, thank you for tuning in.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.
Food for thought. Hello everyone. Today, on the occasion of Arba'een, or the traditional 40th day of commemoration for the martyr of Karbala, the chief of martyrs, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, we present you a thought-provoking description about our eventual fate, that is death, from the Holy Prophet's grandson. I advise you to adhere to God wariness, warn you against the difficult days, and show you the signs of God. The feared, that is death, is about to come, with its frightful arrival, drastic befalling and horrible taste. It will lap your souls and impede you from acting. As long as you enjoy sound physique and enough time, take the initiative in acting, because you may suffer the sudden visit of death that takes you from the surface of the earth to its inside, from its highest point to the lowest, from its affability to its loneliness, from its ease and light to its gloom, and from its wideness to its narrowness, where the intimate friend cannot be visited, the ill cannot be called on, and the seeker of help cannot be aided.
IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
The Light.
The French zoo has had a very productive year, welcoming multiple new animals into its collection. Two pumas, two jaguars, 9 Peruvian squirrel monkeys, and even rarer, macaque twins are new additions to Lemingne Zoo this summer. The animals were bred as part of a program designed to maintain and promote the conservation of endangered species. Once they reach the breeding age, these animals will be transported to other zoos to help boost the population of their species.
Now, a museum in Russia's Kaliningrad has unveiled a special exhibition to the public. It would not be exactly wrong to call the artworks out of trash. All the works exhibited are made of rubbish. The exhibition is showcasing a wide array of objects, including sculptures, musical instruments, robots, and costumes. The project was designed with the aim of raising awareness about recycling. People visiting the exhibition were delighted by the creative use of garbage. Only 7% of waste is recycled in Russia each year, while a vast amount of trash is stored in landfills.
An Egyptian artist is making incredibly tiny statues of famous historical figures and landmarks on pencil tips. 30-year-old Ibrahim Balala is based in the city of Rashid, south of Cairo. He has mastered the art of crafting miniature sculptures. Ibrahim mostly creates statues of Egyptian pharaohs, but Islamic, Greek, and Roman figures also feature in his portfolio. The artist received some criticism when he first ventured on his art, but he persevered and rose to prominence with his minuscule statues. Ibrahim's dream is to open a museum of miniature sculptures someday.
Fourteen lucky penguins have been returned to the seas off the Atlantic coast of Argentina after rehabilitating them from malnutrition and hypothermia. The Magellanic penguins waddled back happily into the chilly waters once they were released. They were distressed, malnourished, and dehydrated when they were found by conservationists in February. There are an estimated 2 to 3 million Magellanic penguins in the world. The cute birds are named after Portuguese explorer Ferdinand Magellan. They are mostly found around Argentina and Chile.
Another groundbreaking archaeological discovery in Peru is now catching attention. 800-year-old human remains south of the capital, Lima, highlight the ancient burial rituals in the South American country. The remains of 8 adults and children buried in a common tomb were found by a group of workers laying gas pipes at the site. They were buried with food, dishes, and musical instruments, including flutes. Archaeologists say that the 8 people lived in the ancient town of Chitka, some 60 kilometers from Lima. They say some of the bodies were buried with the shells on their heads and had bags with cocoa leaves inside them. They say the discovery will shed more light on the pre-Hispanic history of the region. Another 30 human remains had been discovered in Chilca in 2018.
A taxi company in Thailand has turned its vehicles into mini vegetable gardens to help its drivers who are out of work due to the coronavirus pandemic.
The point of this project is so that employees have something to do to reduce stress. To a certain extent, it has helped with reducing our stress, but it isn't really the answer to the situation right now. Even though the drivers and the staff are able to harvest the vegetables for food, it's just part of solving the problem. I think the government should also step in to help us too.
The taxi company is growing vegetables on the roofs and hoods of 300 disused taxis that are parked idly. Prolonged COVID-19 lockdowns have affected the drivers' income negatively so that they are unable to pay the lease of their vehicles. Therefore, working in these gardens has reduced their stress and provided the drivers and their families with food. Amongst the thousands of shops in Tehran's Grand Bazaar lies a tiny tea house with a long history that attracts visitors with its famous treats. Haj Ali Darvish Tea House is the smallest and oldest tea house in the Iranian capital. The 2-meter-wide cafe belongs to 63-year-old Kazim Maputian, who took over the century-old business from his father. He serves a wide range of teas, but his signature is the tea of kindness, a mixture of mint, lemon, and saffron. His tea house is the most famous in Tehran, serving some 200 customers every day. It used to be a tourist attraction before the coronavirus pandemic. Haj Ali Darvish Tea House was enlisted as Iran's intangible cultural heritage in 2016. Farmers working on the border between Venezuela and Colombia have discovered a tusk that is believed to belong to an American mastodon from 16,000 years ago.
We went to the place and the fossil was there, and then we realized it was something very important.
We rescued it because there was a risk of it being lost, and at this moment, it's in the Archaeological and Paleontological Museum of Agualinda.
The experts say the discovery would help them with complementing information about extinct animals and ancient settlements. They say the finding of the tusk in the site would increase its potential contribution to scientific researchers. The discovery of megafaunal fossils in South America has been common over the past decades. In 2019, more than 800 mammoth bones were discovered near Mexico. A group of Cambodian students has designed a manned drone in an attempt to beat traffic. The drone has 8 propellers and a school chair for the pilot's seat. It can carry a human weighing up to 60 kilograms. The creative students say the drone is still in its early stages of development and testing. Equipped with 4 batteries, the human carrier drone can fly up to 4 meters and around 10 minutes above the ground.
Here we have big problems related to traffic jams, so we did some research about this before building the drone. We came up with this drone project as we had the idea that we wanted to solve some problems for our society by making a drone taxi, as well as investing drones for firefighters to help put out fires.
The prototype can or has cost around $20,000 to build. The designers say they need 2 more years to complete the project. The school has expressed hope that the drone could be used in everyday life.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Iran's capital, Tehran, has hosted an art show themed with Aspiration for Peace. Organized by the Economic Cooperation Organization, the event seeks to shed light on the beauty of a global peace through the language of art. Yusuf Jalali reports.
Each one of these delicate works of art are created by an artist from a different country, each trying a unique way to highlight the need for lasting peace in the world. Dubbed Aspiration for Peace, the art gallery is organized by Echo Cultural Institute with the aim of promoting global peace through the language of art.
By holding this event, we want to send a message of peace to all countries. We invited diplomats from all embassies here to gather and unite and celebrate a peaceful gathering. Also, the artworks showcased here are created by artists from various countries, and this represents how beautiful it is for nations to live peacefully.
Art helps connect different civilizations and nations. It helps us bridge the cultural gaps and find commonalities. This will establish mutual understanding and harmony among nations, and therefore conflicts can be avoided.
In some of the artworks, images immediately communicate with the audience, even if faces are veiled. These pictures try to narrate the story of Afghan women and an uncertain future that they're facing amid the Taliban's takeover of power in Afghanistan.
The events that are taking place in my country, Afghanistan, are so painful. It might take hours to tell you how hard it is for an Afghan girl to live in insecurity and uncertainty. But through the language of art, you can understand all these words without the need for translation.
The art show was held on the occasion of the International Day of Peace, observed every year on September 21st. The occasion was introduced by the UN General Assembly as a chance to strengthen the ideals of peace through observing 24 hours of nonviolence and ceasefire.
A picture is worth 1,000 words, and indeed, no words can be as strong as the strokes of an artist in speaking the beauty of peace. And this is how the universal language of art transcends the political and cultural boundaries and touches the hearts of viewers, no matter what language they speak. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
French slackliner has wowed watching crowds in Paris by crossing from the Eiffel Tower to the other side of the River Seine. Nathan Poulain walked across a rope suspended 17 meters above the ground. He finished the 600-meter course in half an hour. On one point, he sat and lay on the rope before arriving at his destination, the Chaillot Theater. The 27-year-old daredevil practiced 4 years to perform this show. Poulain said that he was staying focused during the walk, and that was very challenging.
When I was young, I had fear of heights, and I learned to contain it. During the performance, I really didn't feel it. I really didn't have that problem. I felt some stress over starting it, but no vertigo, no.
Poulain said that it was an uneasy experience, but he was happy to share it with the public. The athlete started slacklining 10 years ago. In 2019, he performed a 510-meter-long walk between two skyscrapers in Paris.
SpaceX's first all-private crew have successfully concluded the first orbital mission in history with no professional astronauts on board. The four tourists on board the SpaceX Dragon capsule landed in the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Florida after spending 3 days in space. The capsule was then transported by helicopter to the Kennedy Space Center, where on Wednesday they took off aboard. During the flight, the crew members' vital signs were monitored to study the effects of the environment of space on complete novices. The Inspiration4 mission was an effort aimed at encouraging the democratization of space. It sought to prove that the cosmos are accessible to crew that have not been handpicked nor been in training for years. Visitors and keepers of a zoo in the Peruvian capital, Lima, are thrilled over the birth of 8 baby penguins from the vulnerable Humboldt species. Zookeepers say the chicks were hatched in July and they're expecting 6 more additions later in October. Currently, the newborns spend their days resting in their nests and being fed by their parents. The Huachipa Zoo currently has 42 Humboldt penguins and is working on recovering the species population.
We have 8 2-month-old chicks and 6 eggs. In 42 days, those eggs will hatch and the chicks will come out. The important thing about Humboldt penguins is that we are recovering their population because they are in a vulnerable state. We are increasing their populations with the breeding we are doing in the zoo.
Researchers say a maximum of less than 10,000 Humboldt penguins are left in the wild, with their population size undergoing extreme fluctuations. The species face emerging threats from agricultural activities to their own vulnerability to predators. The Humboldt penguins are only found along the Pacific coast of Chile and Peru and are enlisted as threatened species by the International Union for Conservation of Nature.
A passionate Indian teacher has turned a road into a classroom and houses walls into blackboards to make up for the prolonged school shutdown caused by COVID-19. Deep Narayan Nayak is working with nearly 60 students in a small tribal village in the eastern state of West Bengal. He started to teach students, most of whom are first-generation learners, last year, when all local schools closed under lockdown restrictions. Nayak says that he was worried about his students' education since many of them did not have access to smartphones or internet connection. But thanks to his initiative, his students can learn everything from popular nursery rhymes to the importance of masks.
We are teaching children everything, how to maintain social distancing, how to wear a mask, what is the importance of masks and hand washing. The children came forward and participated in this initiative, and they are also educating others.
The parents and villagers are grateful to Nayak, saying that they are happy their children are no longer wasting their time loitering around in the village. Nayak is now popularly known as the teacher of the street among the villagers.
Children, same is the light of guidance and the ship of salvation.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear Muslims, salamun alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio on the anniversary of 40th day of Imam al-Hussein's martyrdom.
Karbala. To the land of miracles, yearning to go, no matter how difficult, Karbala.
Today, Monday, is the 20th of the month of Safar, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 5th of May, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 27th of September, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's listen to Surah Fajr, verses 15 to 20. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. فأما الإنسان إذا ما ابتلاه ربه فأكرمه ونعمه فيقول ربي أكرمن.
And as for man, when his Lord tries him and thus is generous to him and favors him, he says, My Lord has honored me.
وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا.
But when he tries him and restricts his provision, he says, My Lord has humiliated me.
كَلَّا بَلْ لَا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ.
No, but you do not honor the orphan.
وَلَا تَحَاضُّونَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ.
And you do not encourage one another to feed the poor.
وَتَأْكُلُونَ التُّرَاثَ أَكْلًا لَمَّا.
And you consume inheritance, devouring it altogether.
وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمًّا.
And you love wealth with immense love.
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
These verses refer to the divine trials as a scale for his rewards and punishments. One does not realize that the trials from Allah are sometimes given through blessing and sometimes occur through disaster. Neither the abundance of blessings should cause men to be proud, nor should disasters make him disappointed. But impatient man forgets the essence of the trial in both cases. And when he receives the blessings of Allah, he thinks that He has honored him.
Okay.
way from my birth to my grave, and swear by God's creation. I was made only a slave for the ship of salvation. For the one whose blood fell like rain, why should my blood not fall too? I'll raise my sword and shout Hussein, for you my vow I'll renew. I'll beat my chest, I'll never rest, all of my life I'd sacrifice. Your name beats in my heart, the truth so clear, even though we're apart, you're always near.
Arba'een Procession. Since the dawn of time, men have yearned to live free and sovereign. For many, such freedom warrants the ultimate sacrifice, death. Such tales have populated our history books. However, none has been more potent than that of Karbala, maybe simply because there lie all of our tales, all of our struggles, all of our hopes of redemption and belief that should be one day asked to do what is right, we would. Karbala and its commemorative pilgrimage are more than just tragic bravery before unjust tyranny. Karbala is not about martyrdom, but an understanding that we exist beyond ourselves, beyond the limitations we teach ourselves, for we fear to think ourselves more than the objects of tyrant's desire.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bihi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the Arba'een of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Now we find that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam achieved martyrdom together with his matchless companions. However, it wouldn't be enough to commemorate this matchless sacrifice only on the day of Ashura or during the first 10 days of the month of Muharram. However, we find that in order to revive and to rememorize this important event, we find that it's essential to remember Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam on another day, and that another day is the day of Arba'een. Now we find that both in the month of Muharram, I mean on the 10th day of Muharram, that is on Ashura, and also, particularly, we find that on the day of Arba'een, that is around the end of the month of Safar, Imam al-Hussein al-Salam and the memory of his matchless sacrifice is commemorated. I mean, these two, I mean, main streams, or these two, I mean, main peaks, are highly commemorated. And this is for teaching all cultures, all people, all nations, that oppression shouldn't be tolerated, oppression shouldn't be appreciated, I mean, with silence. From this, we understand that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam intended to sacrifice his life in order to relieve the Islamic religion.
Walking to Karbala, from Najaf to Karbala. Walking to Karbala, from Najaf to Karbala. I'll give my life and soul just to get to Karbala.
Arba'een World March, focal point of Shia world's cultural diplomacy. Arba'een Procession provides the ground for the Shia world to enhance unity and accord in taking global stances and have influence on world affairs. This is why the world media in recent years have made every effort in a coordinated and calculated way to distort this great event and prevent its news from spreading, because a united Islamic front under the reformist banner of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, whose aim is reviving the traditions of the pure Muhammadan Islam, would be a potential threat for ruling powers and the world arrogance.
Oh Allah, I can't live without Hussein. How can I not see Bayn al-Haramain? My whole life just only has one aim, to be beside the one that was slain. Allahu Akbar, ya Karbala.
Arba'een and resisting oppression. Arba'een is no doubt a commemoration of Imam al-Hussein's revolution, a revolution which was aimed at fighting against social injustice, oppression, and people's unawareness. The tyrants at the time of Imam al-Hussein did everything to abolish the limits that distinguish right from wrong and aimed at redefining the religious and social values according to their own will for the society of that time. But Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, stood against them and did not allow them to be successful in their evil plans by sacrificing himself and his family to revive Islam. He firmly believed that living under a tyranny was the same as living in hell.
The Imam alayhi salam sacrificed for humanity, for our religion, to save us from deviation, from corruption, to save us from injustice. The Imam alayhi salam did not have to sacrifice, but he willingly made that sacrifice for you and me, for all of humanity. And he gave everything that he had. In the ziyarah of the Arba'een, there is one powerful statement that says, وَبَذَلَ مُهْجَتَهُ فِيكَ. Hussein gave the blood of his heart. Muhja in Arabic means the blood of the heart. وَبَذَلَ مُهْجَتَهُ فِيكَ. Why? For what purpose did he give the blood of his heart to Allah? لِيَسْتَنْقِذَ عِبَادَكَ مِنَ الْجَهَالَةِ وَحَيْرَةِ الضَّلَالَةِ. He made that sacrifice to save people from ignorance and from confusion, from deviation. So the Imam alayhi salam sacrificed for us. When we go and visit him in Karbala, we are expressing our gratitude to the Imam alayhi salam. We stand before his shrine and we say, oh Hussein, thank you for your sacrifices for this religion. Therefore, the ziyarah represents gratitude. And Allah teaches us, when someone serves you, when someone gives you a service, when someone does something for you, offers you goodness, thank them. If we do not thank Imam al-Hussein, we have not thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ الْمَخْلُوقِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ الْخَالِقِ.
اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد.
Thank you for joining us till this moment, the end of today's special from IRIB English Radio. May Allah increase our rewards of our mourning for Imam al-Hussein and let us be one of the companions of Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. Till another episode of today's special, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
As-salamu ala al-murammali bid-dimah.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up,